Hi, this is Susie Larson, and thank you so much for listening to Live the Promise today. Our website is filled with even more powerful and encouraging interviews. Learn more by logging on to myfaithradio.com. Welcome to Hour 2 of Live the Promise. So glad you tuned in today. If you just tuned in, you missed my first hour discussion with Mike Donahay of 10th Avenue North. Now I get to talk to Allie Gilkison of Rent Collective. So during the prep, I watched the artist celebration. We're going to play that at the end of the show, so I'll ask you to set that up. And that's Allie's husband speaking in that. And I could not help myself. I'm listening to so many of these videos, and I'm reposting them on my Facebook page. I'm like, I'm having church in my office. I can't keep this to myself. You've got to listen to these things. Yeah. So we've got a lot to talk about. I'm so excited about that. But we love to start out all of our conversations talking scripture. And I'm just wondering if there's either a life verse or just a verse that the Lord's been speaking about these days you can share with us.
Yeah, I mean, my favorite verse and verses that I always go back to is that the start of John 15, and where Jesus is talking about the vine and the branches, mm-hmm. you know, and that promise that he gives that, if you know, if you remain in me, then I will remain in you. And I just really believe that such a key to life is yeah. just trying our utmost to remain in him by reading his word, by being in his presence, by listening and talking to him, and just spending time, you know, in his presence and getting to know him. And that promise of feeling different whenever he promises to remain in us, to know that we carry him with us no matter where we are in the world. You know, we spend our lives traveling all over the place and knowing that he's with us and within us and just making us better people. And I always find that, you know, during hard times, just reading over those verses in John 15 and just getting so much comfort in that promise is just amazing.
Yeah. You know, he's with us when the rest of the world misses us. He sees us and he knows us.
Yeah.
And that abiding life is so where we bear the great fruit. And so it's so amazing.
Absolutely.
Well, Allie, I would love to know just some backstory on your growing up. What was childhood like for you? How'd you come to Christ? Give us a little backstory, if you would.
Sure. I was really blessed as a child. I had two parents that fully loved the Lord and really did their utmost to make church and make Jesus as exciting to us as possible. My dad was the worship leader in our church, which it doesn't mean he was any good in Ireland. he had a guitar and tried his best, really. And you know, he was involved in a very strong level in the church as we were growing up, my mom as well. And I do feel like with growing up, you know, when we hit that sort of 13, 14, 15 age group, we always come to that sort of fork in the road where, you know, we've got different friends in school. We've got different things that are popping into our lives that we maybe didn't expect, we didn't know. And we always seem to have to make a real decision at those sort of teenage years of, am I going to really pursue God? Am I going to really push into that? Or else am I going to go this other way? And for me, I just really chose the church road and the Jesus road. And I was just so thankful to have parents that really encouraged me in that, you know, and a friendship group that were there right beside me. And at about 18, I became a youth leader. We would always say that Northern Ireland is sort of the Bible Belt of the UK. You know, it's very unusual if you grew up and you didn't attend Sunday school and you didn't know the church song. You know, it's kind of a big part of our culture that's just what you do. It was great.
And Allie, I know part of your story, if you don't mind sharing, is you went through a time
sure.
where you were bullied a little bit by schoolmates.
Yeah.
Talk just a little bit about that and what that did in you and even how maybe it affirmed your faith.
Yeah, at about the age of 13, I'd got into a group of friends at school, and it was sort of the popular group, and that sort of thing. And I really wanted to maintain my faith and really wanted to pursue Jesus and everything that I could. And, you know, they just, it just turned around and they started being very nasty. And, you know, girls, what yeah. girls can be like, we can be clicky and, you know, we can be very exclusive. And, yeah, I was just really excluded from the group. I felt so alone. And for a couple of weeks, I ate my lunch in the bathroom because I just I felt like I had nowhere to go and no one to talk to. And except when I came home and cried to my mom, I was like, oh, my God, dude. And over that time, it's probably when I just felt closest to God, where he was like, I am with you, you know.
Yeah.
And it was just making me stronger within, realizing that, you know, I'm not the prettiest girl. I'm not the smartest girl. I'm not the most talented girl in certain areas. But Jesus loves me for who I am, and he wants me to be me. And whatever that looks like, you know, with my personality, with the way I react to things, you know, that's who he created me to be. And I feel like over that time when I just got confidence in that of going, well, this is who I am, and I'm going to love who I am.
Amen.
I'm going to love that this is my personality, and I'm going to love the fact that Jesus loved me just like this.
Yeah.
And it just got so strong, and I just really trusted in God over that time. And, you know, he brought the most incredible friends around me that I had all through school. And, yeah, he just really, you know, Jesus has this wonderful way of turning situations around.
Yeah.
And as I went up through school, then I got the real amazing blessing of being what we call the head girl in school. And you get it when you're 17, turning 18, that all the pupils in your year and all the teachers vote for the, I suppose you call it like a class representative, I guess. And I was chosen to be that for my final year at school. And just such an incredible blessing of how Jesus, when you feel like you've got nobody around you, a couple of years ago, and then you just walk through that with Jesus, and you know, it's just incredible.
Wow. Thank you so much for sharing that. And someone once said, you don't realize Jesus is all you need until he's all you have. And so to be put in a position
yeah.
where you had to go, am I okay apart from their approval? Well, I am because Jesus made me this way and I'm going to love who I am.
For sure.
I mean, that is profound that you would
yeah.
even learn and embrace that lesson at such a young age. But I think that really is what set the course for your just the call of God in your life. And Allie, I just loved
yeah.
in your promo piece and how it described that Ren Collective developed organically outside the influence of the music industry and the CCM culture. So I want you just to talk about that,
mm-hmm.
almost like in a pocket, under the shadow of God's wing, where you're just these Christ followers who came together and he breathed on you and birthed something outside of the whole, you know, formulaic culture that it can tend to be. So talk about that.
Sure. I mean, Ren Collective didn't start as a band. It started as a church movement. And in about 2001, my husband Gareth started a church movement called Rend. And it was for people in their 20s and 30s, mainly people who maybe felt a little bit bruised by church. And we often felt that, you know, when you were growing up in church, you had your youth group and you had lots of stuff to do. And then when you really went to college or university, there wasn't much for you until you were a young married couple. And then there was more for you to do then. And it felt like that sort of age group, that if you were single, maybe going to college or maybe just working a job or whatever, there wasn't much for that sort of age group. And so we started Rend, and it was basically, I mean, it was the most dynamite thing you can imagine. People brought their own bits of carpet to sit on or their own cushion to sit on in a hall. We didn't write our own songs at that time. We mainly sung old Matt Redman songs or Tim Hughes songs. And we really just spent time praying and seeking God and building a community of people that love Jesus and love their community around them. And yeah, it was an incredible time of just seeking after him and journeying through that together and actually developing people. You know, we've got still so many friends today that became Christians via that church movement and are now missionaries in Africa or doing other creative things for the kingdom. And it's really incredible seeing the fruit of that. And it wasn't until about after doing that for about 5 years that Gareth sort of said, "Well, I feel like maybe starting a worship project," because we hadn't written our own songs or anything, and he just felt God calling his heart and saying, you know, it's time to write something. And after about 5 years, him and Chris sort of got together and said, "Well, let's do this," and started writing songs and called it Wren Collective. And here we are today.
Wow.
It's a bit crazy.
It is amazing. And you guys are modern-day hymnists. I mean, these are modern, because your lyrics are so rich theologically. I mean, they're deep. And I love the theme of celebration and joy. And I even love the quirkiness of all these weird instruments you guys use. I love everything about it. I'm sitting in my office. My face hurt from smiling so much. I mean, you guys make me smile. But you make me want to worship.
Cute.
Oh, I love it. And this is on your website. This record, the one we're talking about today, The Art of Celebration. This record is an attempt to reflect something of the irrepressible laughter in the heart of God. It's a call to the cynical to once again choose celebration over condemnation, and a reminder to the broken that the joy of the Lord is our strength. I want to cry when I read that, because, boy, if there is a time for this message, Ellie, it's right now. So talk about the art of celebration and just the whole idea. I mean, I feel like all the music on this album grabs us by the chin and tilts us up to make us look up. And so I want you just to talk about your heart behind this project.
Sure. About 2 years, maybe 3 years ago now, we were finding it quite hard. You know, we'd come into a whole new country. And when you come from such a small country to such a big country, it can be quite daunting. Mm-hmm. We're like, this country just keeps on going. Mm. And, we were feeling, we had left our families behind. We had left our everything that we had known behind. And although we had each other, you just go through hard times every now and again. And we were hearing so many stories of people who were suffering and people who were, you know, it seemed that life had been just so cruel. And we were saying, okay, how can we serve the church through these times? How can we create a message for us and for people that are going through tough times and struggles? And we just started going through the Word and realizing, and it just hit us, you know, the joy of the Lord is our strength. Like our strength, like the joy of the Lord is our strength. And, you know, it's not a natural inclination that, you know, when you're going through hard times, it's not natural for us to be, you know, let's just celebrate and go through that emotion. But it's a real discipline. And that's what we find, that going through tough times ourselves and for other people, you need the discipline of joy in your life, because that's where you find strength. And so we just wanted to write music that, we pretty much call ourselves a celebration worship band now. You know, we want to write music that help people on that journey to find that joy, to find the heart of celebration within themselves, even going through the hardest times. And we just finished the Art of Celebration tour last fall. We did about 40 different cities. And on every night, we had what we call the Celebration Wall. And this is an opportunity for people, when they came, just to write down their celebration story, something that God had really brought them through. And the stories were just incredible. You know, people were writing that they came in just feeling overwhelmed with guilt and with shame, but they left knowing that Jesus dances over them and feeling free. And, I mean, that's just what we want to do. We just want to help people on that journey. Because, like in one of our songs, it just says, the art of celebration is knowing that we're free from condemnation. And we really felt like a lot of times we go through life with this guilt and with this shame hanging on us. And we're like, well, you know, the art of celebration is knowing that we're free. It's saying, Jesus, what you did on the cross is enough and was enough for me, that I don't need to carry this around. You've done it. You said it was finished. And, it's really just helping people in their story of freedom, in their story of liberty, in their story of suffering. And we just wanted to serve the church as best we could in that. And we really love the album. We're really proud of it. And when you see the difference of what singing the songs do for people, it makes everything so worthwhile.
Indeed. And it does. It is costly to travel. I travel as well, and I know how grueling it can be. And but I thank you for making that sacrifice. I just want to repeat one of the things you just said. You need the discipline of joy in your life because that's where you find strength. So powerful. And we're going to be playing a number of your songs throughout the hour. Wondering if you would set up the song My Lighthouse. Tell us a little bit about that song. First of all, the video is a blast. I just love the music video on this. And listening today, you might want to just spend some time on YouTube and look at some of their videos because they're so well done. But talk to us about that song.
Yeah, well, coming from Ireland, we all grew up in that little town called Bangor. And basically, you can't really leave your house for more than 30 seconds without seeing a lighthouse on the coast. And for my husband, whenever he was really, he felt the call to music whenever he was 14 years old. And still at 25, nothing was really happening. And he would take these late night walks along the beach in Ireland. And, you know, he would feel like, God, have you abandoned me? God, have you left me? What is happening? I don't really feel like anything's moving forward. And all the time, he would just see this lighthouse just spinning around, just so consistent. And, you know, coming around to it again, we just really felt that, you know, no matter what struggles we're going through, no matter what storms come, whatever we feel so pressed in on every side, you know, Jesus is that lighthouse. He is that consistent one. He's that one that's guiding us through. You know, if we can just keep our eyes on him, he will show us the way. He will light the path. And, yeah, that's where My Lighthouse came from. We love singing it every night. It's such a blast.
In my wrestling, in my doubts, in my failures, you won't walk out. Your great love will lead me through. You are the peace in my troubled sea. Whoa, you are the peace in my troubled sea. In the silence, you won't let go. In the questions, your truth will hold. Your great love will lead me through. You are the peace in my troubled sea. Whoa, you are the peace in my troubled sea. My lighthouse, shining in the darkness, I will follow you. Oh, my lighthouse, I will trust the promise, you will carry me safe to shore.
Talking to Allie Gilkison with Run Collective. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson, honored to be talking to Allie Gilkison of Run Collective. And Allie, I got to say, one of the songs that about slayed me is Boldly I Approach. I want to play that song in a moment, but just set it up for us if you would.
Sure. Boldly I Approach actually sort of came from a very old hymn that was written by a Northern Irish girl a long, long time ago. And it was the hymn Before the Throne of God. And, yeah, it was just really a reworking of that hymn and sort of bringing it into the sort of modern day. And for us, it was just a real point of realizing that we are sons and daughters of God, realizing that our worship is not about what we have done. It's about what he has done. And our worship is not about who we are, but it's about who he is and who he is through us. And just throwing our hands back and saying, God, we just want to worship you. We want to praise you. Thank you that we can approach you and that you have made us and adopted us as your children. And that's where that line really comes from. The art of celebration is knowing that we're free from condemnation. And it's a real declaration of that, you know, when we do that, at our worship events, just at that point, we actually have these bubble machines, and we just fire bubbles all over the room.
Mm.
And it's just that set, you know, it's just a sign of celebration. We don't really care about show. We don't care about lights. Some, you know, they're fun to have, and they do show the sort of fun nature and creative side of our God. But just to have those bubbles, and every night, just at that point of the artist celebration, we just release these bubbles into the room. And it just really helps people connect with this freedom. You know, you see the joy in people's faces, and then they connect it with those words of, you're free from condemnation. You can just enjoy God and just have fun in his presence and just approach his throne just as you are, because he's done it. He's done everything that ever needed to happen. And, it's such an amazing moment. We just feel the presence of God through that song. And I just love it, especially if there's people that are coming in and they maybe don't know God and they don't know what church is about, and just realizing you are welcome. You are welcome to approach. This is an invitation for everyone. There's nobody that's excluded from this celebration. You're welcome to come in as you are. We just love it. It's just so amazing.
You know, I just love what you're about, and I love just the timing of God raising you up for such a time as this. And before we play Boldly I Approach, I just want you to hear these lyrics again from Ren Collective's Boldly I Approach. Listen to this. When condemnation grips my heart and Satan tempts me to despair, I hear the voice that scatters fear. The great I am, the Lord is here. Oh, praise the one who fights for me and shields my soul eternally. Do you hear that? He's going to get you safely home. If you're driving in your car listening today and you're under that weight of condemnation, you're in Christ Jesus, that enemy doesn't get to throw condemnation at you. There's no condemnation in you. So let's listen in to Boldly I Approach and just worship the Lord together.
By grace alone, somehow I stand, where even angels fear to tread. Invited by redeeming love, before the throne of God above, he pulls me close with nail-scarred hands into his everlasting arms. Condemnation grips my heart, and Satan tempts me to despair. I hear the voice that scatters fear. Oh, the great I am, the Lord is here. Oh, praise the one who fights for me and shields my soul eternally. Boldly I approach your throne, blameless now I'm running home. By your
You've got to take the time to listen to that whole song by Ren Collective, Boldly I Approach. Don't go away. When we come back, more with Ellie Gilkison of Ren Collective.
There's nothing greater than your love, more than we can imagine. There's nothing sweeter on this earth, more than we can imagine. Our hearts respond to who you are. It's you.
Thanks for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, having a great conversation with Ellie Gilkison of Ren Collective. And Ellie, I have a question for you. As someone who travels a lot, when I get road weary, I feel especially vulnerable to thoughts of insecurities and fears about tomorrow. How do you strengthen your heart and guard your thoughts when you're in that place?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we I travel with my little one-year-old. Me and my husband, we had a baby a year ago, and it definitely can take its toll, you know. Everything's a little bit more difficult on the road. We always say it's like camping full time. You know, something as you know, you want to heat a bottle. It's not simple. You have to do all these steps. But and that it is when the enemy really can come in, when you're feeling tired, when you're feeling and really weary, and you can become disillusioned and think, oh, why are we doing this? You know, this is so hard, and you know, I miss my family. And but what we find is that really simply is spending time with Jesus every day. Yeah. And that can be hard, particularly we live on a bus when we're touring, and you've got 12 people in this tiny little space, well, 13 including Arthur, and trying to find space to do that is difficult. But also we find that really building a healthy community, I mean, we really live like family. On the road, we do everything together. We go to sleep when we're all together. We wake up when we're all together. And I guess we just realize that the family aspect of what we do is so much more important than the music of what we do. We consistently pursue to put relationships first. And I think that was what keeps us and sustains us when we're feeling tired. You know, we've got each other to pick ourselves up. We've got each night is just so incredible because you've got this different group of people worshiping with you, and you hear their stories, and you hear this freshness. And I guess as well, just entering in and worship, we try really, really hard, and really every night we're just pressing into the presence of God and just seeing what He wants to say for that specific night, you know. And we really make sure that we don't get on this sort of routine train, or this is just what we do, or we just go through the motions of an evening. You know, we really fight hard and discipline ourselves to hear what God's saying, to hear what He wants to do for that evening. And that is what refreshes us. Mm. You know, seeing the difference of what God is doing is just so incredible. And when you're in the hands of God and being obedient to His calling, there is a peace within your heart that you just can't get anywhere else.
So
you
true.
Know, there's nothing else that gives you that strength and that peace. And I think that's one of the major things when I'm feeling weary and thinking, you know, are we doing the right thing? Or, you know, this is just maybe a bit hard. I just feel that peace from within, that wellspring of living water. And I just find that refreshing time in that and realizing, you know what, this is exactly where I'm meant to be. And I just find that so refreshing.
You know, Allie, again, I love what you're about, because I'm thinking of what's worn out so many people in Christianity is the anger and the obligation. There's so much angst and anger,
yeah,
and such a strong sense of obligation. And what I hear you talking about is joy and celebration and invitation. And those are all things from the heart of the Father. And that's what's only sustainable.
Yeah.
You know, all the should do's and ought to's that we put on people, it's not sustainable because we're just not enough in ourselves, you know, and yet
that's
God
right.
is more than enough for us. And I know we only have you back for a few more minutes, and I'm trying to think of how I can best use this time, because I have about 10 more questions for you. So if you don't mind, I'd love for you just to give us a little bit of backstory on More Than Conquerors, and then after that, Simplicity. And then after that, I'm just going to give you a heads up to set up the Art of Celebration video that your sweet husband narrated that just about knocked me off my chair.
Yeah.
So let's start with More Than Conquerors. Just talk about that song.
Sure. We wanted to write a song that was a real battle cry. You know, sometimes we feel that we've become a little bit polite with our sin and shame. And we wanted to raise up a real victory song, something that the church could really connect with. You know, it's all about those verses in Romans 8 when you're talking about that the power that raised Christ from the dead dwells within our tiny mortal bodies. I mean, that's resurrection power that's within us. And we wanted to say to people, you know, if you're really struggling through something, you just can't feel like you can't overcome something. Well, later on in that chapter, it also says that you are more than conquerors through Christ. That with Him that dwells within us, you can overcome. You can have the victory. And Yeah, we just want, it's a little bit of a ruckus song. It's, we don't like to do it too politely. The response that we've had with that is just so great. It's so amazing just to see men really cry out, you know, lifting their hands in the air, lifting their fists in the air, and just claiming that we're more than conquerors. And, you know, the bridge of that song says, nothing is impossible. Every chain is breakable. Mm. And we believe that, you know, with all our heart. And
wow.
Just, sometimes I feel like we just need to declare it with everything that we have.
Hallelujah. Nothing is impossible. Every chain is breakable. Oh, my goodness. You're just firing me up. And we need a few more ruckus songs nowadays, I would say.
That's so right. Even more Irish.
Yes, indeed. So the next song I want to play is Simplicity. Let's hear about that song.
Yeah, Simplicity really came from that whole idea of when we did the Campfire album. That was the album just before the Artist Celebration. And that was really about taking things back to, just a place of simplicity. You know, when Jesus talks about worship in the Bible, he talks about worship in spirit and in truth. And it's really just about bringing our whole selves before him, not trying to put on a show, not trying to put on an image, but really just bringing our heart and being vulnerable to him and vulnerable with each other. And that's what simplicity was really about. It was really a tool for that, to say, you know, let's just strip it all back and just open up our hearts and just worship him.
And really all about returning to your first love. And watching that video, just the sincerity of your worship, again, was one of those just church moments. So, so precious.
I come in simplicity, longing for purity, to worship you in spirit and truth. Only you, Lord, strip it all away, till only you remain. I'm coming back to my first love, only you. You're the reason I sing, the reason I sing. Yes, my heart will sing how yes, my heart will sing how I love you.
Having church today, back in a moment.
Build your kingdom here. Let the darkness fear. Show your mighty hand. Heal our streets and land. Set your church on fire. Win this nation back. Change the atmosphere. Build your kingdom.
Welcome back to Live the Promise, having such a good time, talking to Allie Gilkison from Ren Collective. Allie, one last question. I want to respect your time, but set up this Art of Celebration video. It's 7 minutes long, and we're going to play the audio here in just a minute of your husband, Gareth, and just talking about, I mean, I love, he's talking about running through the fields and just discovering this joy of the Lord. And talk about that video and just what you want the takeaway to be.
Yeah, basically for every album that we do, we start with a concept, we start with a message, and then we write the songs around that. And for this video, we really just wanted to explain the heart behind the Art of Celebration and set up a context so that churches would understand where it's coming from, for where small groups would understand where it's coming from, and where each one of us could just sort of have a reference point. And it's really just us just describing our heart behind it, and what really, it's an invitation for you to come and join us on this celebration journey and this celebration story. And yeah, I hope you really enjoy it. I hope you can understand my husband's very accent. But we probably should have put subtitles on it.
But that's funny.
And it just gives you a little bit of a glimpse into the album as well.
I remember a few years ago sitting watching the sunrise. It was a typical misty Irish morning, and there was a magical stillness in the air. Something happened that day that I didn't see coming. You see, I've grown up in church. I've been surrounded by the fact that Jesus loves me since I was born. But that day, something new flooded my soul. My eyes were opened, and I was totally overwhelmed by the reality of God. That I was not alone, lost in life, that I was not condemned, but that I was free. And I don't know what happened, but this uncontrollable urge took over me. I jumped to my feet and started sprinting through the fields like a wild man, laughing and crying with pure joy. That was my first taste of the Art of Celebration. Since that day, I've learned that life has a way of draining that childlike wonder from us. Whether it's through our own failures or disappointments, whether it's suffering or betrayal, or even just familiarity, that's why we put up our defenses, isn't it? That's why we become numb. We pull back from life and become spectators because we're afraid of being hurt again. But the good news is, Jesus is always doing a new thing. He's not finished with us yet. We may doubt, we may feel like we are broken beyond repair, but He is the peace in our troubled sea. He is the healer of the brokenhearted. Recently, we made a theological breakthrough as a community, and it has changed everything about our approach. We realize that seriousness is not a fruit of the Spirit, but joy is. You see, there is an irrepressible laughter in the heart of God, and the whole universe cannot contain it. He is the one who invented celebrations and feasting and holidays. He is the one who sings and dances over us. When He suffered the cross, He did it for the joy set before Him. And that joy was knowing that you and I would be fully free, no longer captive to our sin. Yes, the whole human story is described in terms of a celebration, the marriage of Christ to his bride, the church. Our God is the ultimate artist of celebration, the inventor of the party, and the healer of the broken. Now, happiness is not the same thing as joy. Happiness is an emotion, a superficial response to pleasant circumstances. But joy is deeper. It's a spiritual discipline. We as people are much more inclined towards negativity and cynicism. We don't find it easy or even natural to pursue joy. And that's why God in His Word actually commands us to celebrate. We must wrestle for our blessing. We must fight for our joy. How do we then remind ourselves as a wounded church family that we still have a reason to sing? How do we move from the edges and fringes of the party into the center? Well, the Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. And to do that, we have to once again open up our hearts to wonder and beauty. I'm not saying to be fake or put on a false smile, but rather to always find a reason to rejoice, even if we are in the darkest circumstances. We come with a gospel worth celebrating before a celebrating King. And we think our response as worshippers should be obvious. We need to get down to the serious business of joy, because the joy of the Lord is our strength. And after all, heaven's going to be the greatest party of all time, and we need to start practicing now. So don't get caught up in your guilt or failure. You are forgiven, you are free, and you're worth more to God than you could ever imagine. So come on. With a childlike heart, wide-eyed with wonder, let's rediscover the art of celebration.
Allie, this has been such a sacred time, and you've been so gracious to give us a couple extra minutes as we wrap up. I'm wondering if you wouldn't mind.
Thank you,
Allie, if you do mind, would you mind just praying for the person listening today who's lost sight of joy, who's lost sight of celebration, who's been maybe more bogged down by obligations and ought-tos and should-dos, and constantly feeling that awareness of how much they fall short? Would you mind just whispering a prayer if we could do that right now?
Absolutely. My pleasure. God, we just thank you for your love. God, we thank you for your grace that just meets us where we're at every day. I thank you that we don't have to really push to be better, but God, you have done everything for us. And then through us, God, you create better versions of ourselves. And we just thank you for that. We thank you that you are our joy, that you are our strength, that when we pursue you, that's where we find freedom, that's where we find joy, and that's where we can find our celebration story. So help us, God, help us just reach out to you. Help us create that first step just towards you, God. Be with us, draw close to us, and we just thank you. We just want to celebrate you, God, and everything that you've done. Amen.
Amen. Ellie, I just can't say it enough. I adore who you are. I love what you guys are about, and you will definitely be in my prayers in the days ahead. Thank you for this time.
Thank you so much. Hmm. It's been my pleasure.
What a precious time. God bless you, dear girl.
By grace alone, somehow I stand. Where even angels fear to tread. Invited by redeeming love, before the throne of God above, He pulls me close with nail-scarred hands into His everlasting arms. Condemnation grips my heart, and Satan tempts me to despair. I hear the voice that scatters fear. Oh, the great I am, the Lord is here. Oh, praise the one who fights for me and shields my soul eternally. Boldly I approach your throne, blameless now. Risen sun, more beauty than this world has known. I'm face to face with love Himself. His perfect spotless righteousness.
Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. Hope you really enjoyed this time as much as I did. If you enjoyed it, be a radio missionary and share it with a friend. With a click of a button, you can send today's show out by Facebook, email, or Twitter. I'll leave you with this thought. You hear it from me every day. The Lord wants you to last long and finish strong. He is the one who keeps you strong to the end. Since He's given you access to His presence, take Him up on it. Have a blessed day. We'll meet you back here next time.